You're listening to Double Take on 5 Live, trying to make sense of some of the bigger stories of the week. And one of the most important stories has been that of the state of the economy. The week began with this.
The FTSE 100 index, the index that measures shares in Britain's top companies, lost another 3% of its value today. The closing figure for that at 4:30, down 189 points at 5,103. So we've lost around 900 points since the start of July.
Now, by Wednesday, of course, we had a warning from some of the country's leading economists about the lasting damage being caused by high earners having to pay the 50 pence tax rate.
I think the 50p rate is, frankly, an own goal for Britain. It says we're not really very interested in attracting or keeping talented, hard-working people in this country. We don't mind if they go abroad.
And on that very same day, the Chancellor admitted he'd had to rethink his hopes for the UK economy, for the short term at least.
While we've all had to revise down our short-term expectations over recent weeks, the only people who should be fundamentally re-examining their view of the world are those who thought that this time would be different. Those whose plans depended on unrealistic assumptions of a rapid return to business as usual and a continuation of forgiving financial market conditions.
Now, we saw no change in the interest rate on Thursday. The Bank of England, of course, kept it at 0.5%. And on the same day, there was a warning that the economy could start to shrink again. Now, the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development wouldn't rule out some of the big economies going back into recession. The Shadow Chancellor, Ed Ball, said there needed to be a change of policy across the world.
We've said repeat the bank bonus tax for a second year and have a programme for youth jobs. But those things together, on the global stage and here on the British stage, it would be a change for George Osborne, but it would be a sensible and more balanced and saner change for the better. I'm afraid simply to bury your head in the sand looks increasingly reckless and out of touch.
By Friday, a meeting of the Eurozone's finance ministers. Top of the agenda, just how to cope with the Eurozone crisis. Just before the G7 meeting, the International Monetary Fund boss, Christine Lagarde, said the UK's plans on debt reduction were appropriate.
The policy stance remains appropriate, but the heightened risk means a heightened readiness to respond, particularly if it looks like the economy is headed for a prolonged period of weak growth and high unemployment.
But let's compare that UK solution with President Obama's recovery plan for the US. £282 billion worth of tax cuts and ways to create more jobs, fixing roads, public buildings and railways.
The purpose of the American Jobs Act is simple: to put more people back to work and more money in the pockets of those who are working. It will create more jobs for construction workers, more jobs for teachers, more jobs for veterans, and more jobs for long-term unemployed. It will provide a tax break for companies who hire new workers, and it will cut payroll taxes in half for every working American and every small business.
So, after hearing a week's worth of arguments here on Double Take, we'd kind of like to work out if the UK plans could stop being, in Christine Lagarde's words, appropriate. When might we need a plan B, and if we did need it, what would it look like?
Well, let's talk first of all to financial analyst and broadcaster Max Keyser. Morning, Max. So, given all that we've heard this week, it's a bit hard to fathom out exactly what state we're in financially. What state do you think the UK economy is in right now?
Well, it looks like George Osborne is getting ready to back off on the big austerity programs and to start his Plan B. And this is, of course, going to reignite inflation in the UK. And the biggest problem is still as George Osborne says, the banking sector in the UK has 500% of Britain's GDP in debt, approximately $5 trillion pounds in debt. That's still the biggest problem. So tweaking the tax rates one way or another is not going to change that. The austerity program, it doesn't really address that. The only thing that addresses that is the bank reform initiative, which is coming up for, a report this week. This is really the key, in my view.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that in a second, about this kind of reform initiative for the banks. But we've had a lot of excuses, haven't we, as the public? You know, the economy didn't grow because of snow, then it didn't grow because of the sun, then because there was a royal wedding. How difficult is it to get a really accurate pinpoint of how we are recovering or whether we're recovering. We've heard about L-shaped recessions, U-shaped recessions, double-dip recessions. How can we even begin to fathom out what the future holds?
Again, it's as if you listen to Osborne's words, he talks about how the banking sector is incredibly large as a percentage of the overall UK economy, and that he's having difficulty figuring out how to keep the banking sector going and the overall economy going at the same time. And so this begs the question, maybe the banking sector needs to be downsized in terms of its the amount of debt that it's processing and handling to make room for other pieces of the economy to grow. And this is really what's going to end up happening anyway, because if the world community stops funding the UK banking sector, if the pound were to suffer substantially, or UK banks were to end up, as we're now seeing in the continental Europe, with French banks on the verge of collapse again, then that funding won't be coming anyway. So it's better to be proactive and to try to address this banking problem before the world addresses your banking problem for you.
What do you think this means for you and me, the people of the UK? How are we going to react? Now, you think there's going to be a lot more than just shrugging of shoulders and grim acceptance, don't you?
Well, you know, I do a radio show in the UK now for 6 years. I've been doing a show, and for 6 years, we've been talking about these problems building in the UK. And for 6 years, we've been saying that people should own some gold and silver as a way to protect themselves against the ongoing chaos, the ongoing confusion, and the ongoing failure by policymakers to address the banking problems. And this is really the only recourse that people have, because if the government leaders are not going to really address the biggest problem, the overextension of the banking into the overall economy, then they must protect themselves against what will now be a runaway inflation.
Do stay with us, because I'd like to introduce David Nash to the equation now, research fellow at the Institute for Public Policy Research. Just picking up on that last point, first of all, from Mags, do we all rush out to buy gold? Or, I mean, some are arguing that this is a gold bubble and it's about to burst spectacularly.
Well, absolutely. And I suppose, you know, that there is a serious risk that now, investors are going into the market for gold. You know, we have a potential new bubble in our midst. And I kind of agree, going back to the issue raised by your previous contributor, you know, this problem, as we've seen over the last few years, has sort of pushed onus on the need to reform the state of the banking sector in the UK, and the fact that, you know, politicians are talking increasingly about rebalancing the economy, and I know we're going to get onto it in a bit, but you know, there's a serious risk that what's going to be proposed tomorrow in the Vickers report will mean that the ring fencing that does take place will not be wide or deep enough. And this kind of thing, you know, we've had a build up of the banking sector over the course of 20-30 years in the UK. This can't be achieved overnight, this rebalancing. So at the same time, whilst I agree with Max that, you know, that tackling the sort of the bloated nature of the banking sector needs to happen, you know, the government really needs to start thinking about what it can do to promote a more diverse range of sectors throughout the economy.
So, but I mean, are you suggesting then some method of stimulus? Stimulus comes with a price tag, and we're being told that there is no money to pay for such stimulus. So what do you do then, David Nash?
Well, no, absolutely, everything comes with a price tag. But, you know, one has to distinguish between spending now and investment for the future. And you know, if the reports in today's Independent on Sunday are to be believed, and you know, George Osborne is seriously considering a U-turn and looking to bring forward some of the infrastructure projects that he had in the pipeline, you know, this does amount to you know, a plan A plus or a plan B, as it were. This is rearranging priorities. And you know, the fact that when it took office, the government slashed the capital spending budget. You know, frankly, you know, we need more productive investment into housing, energy, transport, and infrastructure. You know, that will create the jobs in the private sector, and that will boost demand in the economy. And we're not seeing that yet.
Okay, just very briefly, going back to Max Kaiser, there is one school of thought that says, look, whatever you do, plan A plus, plan B, plan zibbity doo dah, whatever you call it, we are actually just at the mercy of whatever happens in the United States and Europe.
Well, to some degree, you are at the mercy of what happens in the global banking sector, as represented by folks like Christine Lagarde, who had a tremendous influence on Osborne, obviously, because after their meeting, he started to talk about this Plan B and backing away from some of the austerity measures. He's become a hoodie, you could say. He's all for now printing money and stimulating the economy and getting back with the entitlement programs, and he's turning his back on that austerity measure okay. that he thought was needed. This is obviously just going to exacerbate the problem, because you're giving the banks more free and cheap money in which to expand the debt bubble through right. more deficit spending.
Okay, on that depressing note, thank you, I guess, to Max Kaiser and David Nash. Just very briefly, let's cross over to Al Eakin. What's going on in the rugby?